Imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform trusted by over 190 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team or raise funds for a small business, a creative project, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to 5 times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Welcome to The Deep Dive, the place where we don't just summarize things. We take a massive stack of articles, biographies, and all sorts of specialized source material, and we synthesize it down into the core knowledge you really need.
Yeah, the whole mission here is to give you the ultimate shortcut, to make you feel thoroughly and surprisingly well-informed about the people who are really reshaping culture today.
And today we are focusing on an artist whose career path, it's not a ladder, it's more like a series of meticulously planned, just seismic pivots. Hmm. We're tracking the story of a man who went from being a serious, disciplined, Division I college athlete to becoming one of the most critically revered actors of our time. A 2-time Academy Award winner.
That's an incredible story.
We're diving deep into the life and the professional evolution of Mahershala Ali. And our task for you, the listener, isn't just to list his successes. It's to really grasp how he engineered this career.
Right.
What were the foundational pieces, you know, his faith, his family, that informed his choices? And what were the unique strategic decisions that let him just consistently transcend expectations?
What?
Moving from the basketball court to Shakespeare to the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
This deep dive, it's all powered by a really comprehensive source. It's like an integrated biography, pulling all these details together. His intensely religious upbringing, his surprising athletic background, his formal acting education.
And the music career. I think a lot of people miss that part.
Oh, completely. Yeah. His whole other career in music that many fans just don't know about. And, of course, a detailed chronicle of all his historic achievements. Mm-hmm. If you want to understand the architecture of his career, this is really the master blueprint.
So what's the big initial takeaway?
I think the thing that frames this whole conversation is just the sheer undeniable weight of his critical standing.
Yeah.
This isn't just about fame. It's about deep respect.
Right.
I mean, the New York Times, back in 2020, they ranked him among the 25 greatest actors of the 21st century. And Time magazine, a year before that, named him one of the 100 most influential people in the world. So when you get that level of critical consensus, it confirms that all those early pivots, they weren't just random changes of heart. They were manifestations of this relentless pursuit of depth and mastery.
Okay, let's unpack that journey. And I think we have to start at the absolute beginning, because the very first biographical fact is maybe the most revealing thing about his foundation. We have to talk about his full birth name.
It's one of those names that just stops a conversation, you know, demands context. His birth name is Mahershala Hashbaz Gilmore.
Mahershala Hashbaz.
Just hearing that name, it immediately tells you that his background is rooted in this really profound scriptural understanding of the world.
It definitely commands attention. I mean, it's 18 letters long. Where does a name with that kind of complexity even come from?
So the source material is clear. It's biblical. It's taken directly from the Old Testament. It comes from the prophet Isaiah. Chapter 8, where Mahershalal Hashbaz is the name given to the prophet's second son. It's actually one of the longest names in the entire Bible.
So it's not just a name, it's practically a sentence, a prophecy.
Exactly. The literal translation from Hebrew is, hurry to the spoil, come quickly to the plunder. It's a phrase tied to speed, to destiny. This one detail immediately establishes that his identity was steeped in serious religious and intellectual thought right from birth.
Yeah.
This wasn't some casual naming choice. It was a deeply meaningful, almost destiny-shaping name.
And he was born in Oakland, California in 74, but he grew up mostly in Hayward. And the religious environment of his youth was very specific. It really sets up the spiritual pivot that happens later in his life.
Oh, absolutely. His early life was just dominated by the Christian faith, especially the Baptist church. He was raised by his mother, was an ordained Baptist minister. Well, and this commitment ran deep. I mean, his maternal grandmother, Evia Goines, was also an ordained minister at the Palmacia Baptist Church in Hayward. So on his mother's side, he's completely immersed in the structure, the community, and frankly, the performance inherent in Christian ministry.
You know, it's interesting to think about that. Being raised by ministers means you're watching high-stakes, dramatic oratory every single week. That had to have influenced his career choice later on.
It's an undeniable undercurrent, right?
Yeah.
He grew up watching how to command an audience, how to use rhetoric, how to embody a serious message. I mean, it's high drama, even if the stage is a pulpit.
Sure.
But there's this dramatic counterpoint to all that stability, his father.
Right, Philip Gilmore, who also pursued a performance-based path, but in a totally different universe, Broadway.
Philip Gilmore was chasing the theatrical dream. He wanted a career as a professional dancer on Broadway. But the sources note that he left the family when Ali was just a toddler. Mm. And tragically, his father passed away pretty young, in 1994, right when Ali was in college. So you have this profound, almost symbolic split in his childhood.
Yeah.
The spiritual structure and stability from his mother, and then the artistic pull and the inherent instability represented by his absent Broadway-bound father. The lure of performance was literally in his DNA.
So his early life is defined by these deep Christian roots and kind of the ghost of a performance career. But his biggest identity shift, that comes just a few years after college.
That's right. Around the year 2000, we see this major foundational shift in his spiritual and cultural identity. He converted to Islam.
Which was significant enough that he actually changed his name.
A huge deal. He changed his surname from Gilmore to Ali. It's a powerful simplification and really a cultural realignment.
And he didn't just convert, he aligned himself with a specific movement within Islam, right?
Precisely. In 2001, he became an Ahmadiyya Muslim. Now, for you listening, this detail is really crucial and we should probably spend a second on it. The Ahmadiyya community is a distinct sect of Islam that started in 19th century India.
Okay.
They're distinguished by their belief in Mirza Ghulam Murad as the promised Messiah and Mahdi. Now, this specific belief has often led to the Ahmadiyya community facing opposition, sometimes even persecution, from some majority Muslim communities who view them as heretical.
So when he converted, he wasn't just adopting a new faith. He was stepping into an identity that, by its nature, often requires a certain resilience.
Exactly. An identity that carries the potential for both internal and external scrutiny.
And the timing of this public identity change couldn't have been more volatile. He becomes an Ahmadiyya Muslim in 2001, right as the September 11th attacks just fundamentally changed the world for Muslims in the United States.
The timing is not just interesting. It's an immediate, real-world crucible for his new identity. The sources clearly document that Ali experienced racial profiling at airports, at banks, following the attacks. This wasn't some historical footnote. This was his daily reality.
So this connects his spiritual journey directly to geopolitical reality. His faith conversion was immediately tested by public prejudice.
And that prejudice was amplified because the specific faith he chose already operates from a space of resilience. What's fascinating is that his own life experience starts to mirror the very characters he would later portray, these figures navigating moral complexity and external judgment. His path was immediately grounded in this tangible reality of discrimination, long before he became famous for interpreting those experiences on screen. That authenticity, that's foundational to the gravitas he has today.
That seriousness of purpose we've been talking about, in his name and his faith, it really becomes the operating principle for his next great pivot. And this is arguably the most shocking part of his whole biography. The shift from being a Division A basketball player to a professional actor.
It's so often forgotten. But yeah, Ali wasn't just some student who played intramurals. He was a serious collegiate athlete. He went to St. Mary's College of California, SMC, on a basketball scholarship.
A scholarship athlete. That means his talent was seen as having professional potential. Tell us about his time on the court.
So from 1992 to 1996, he was known as Herschel Gilmore, and he played DI basketball for the SMC Gales, mostly a point guard, shooting guard.
And we should stress, a DI scholarship is a professional track. This wasn't some backup plan. This was the intended career path.
Totally. And he was, significantly, a first-generation college student. So this scholarship wasn't just a sports opportunity. It was a profound step up, socially and economically, for his family. He graduated in 96 with a degree in mass communication, having done the whole 4 years.
So given the stability and the opportunity that scholarship gave him, what causes this? the seismic pivot that completely changes his future.
The source material is really clear that it wasn't because he lacked skill. It was a deep-seated professional disillusionment. He became, this is the word used, disenchanted with the idea of a sports career.
Why, though?
The specific reason cited was the way the team's athletes were treated within that collegiate system.
You know, if we look at that critically, does that explanation, disenchantment with athlete treatment, does that feel like enough for such a massive career change? I mean, was there any hint that the pull of the arts, maybe, from his father played a bigger role?
And that's where the story gets so much richer. It's rarely just one reason. While the ethical part, the disillusionment, was the reason he left basketball, the decision to pivot into acting was driven by a discovery. He developed this sudden, powerful interest in acting after he took part in a student staging of the play Spunk, which is based on stories by Zora Neale Hurston.
So one play just changed everything.
That one moment of stepping into a character, of engaging in that performance, it was so powerful that it just overrode 4 years of athletic discipline and financial stability. It's the classic story of the stage calling to the performer, a call maybe he inherited from his father that now had a chance to express itself.
So he graduates in 96, the sports store closes, the performance store opens. But what's crucial is he didn't just drift into acting. He immediately applied that same DI athlete discipline to his new passion.
That discipline is the bridge. A DI athlete understands rigor, coaching, delayed gratification through training. He applied all of that directly to performance. Right after graduation, he got an apprenticeship at the California Shakespeare Theater.
So he went straight from the discipline of the court to the discipline of classic drama.
Exactly. An apprenticeship is basically boot camp for serious actors. It's not glamorous. It's learning stagecraft, voice, movement. It shows he wasn't treating acting like a hobby. He was treating it like a new profession that required foundational skill.
But there's a little detour here before he gets to the highest level of training. He takes a year off.
Yes, that gap year is telling. He worked for a company called Gavin Report. But after that year, the commitment to the craft came back even stronger. He realized the apprenticeship wasn't enough. He needed the highest possible credentials.
Right.
So he enrolled in New York University's prestigious graduate acting program at the Tisch School of the Arts. This is arguably the most competitive MFA acting program in the country. And he got his master's degree in 2000.
Let's just underline this for you listening. He had a scholarship, a college degree, a defined path in sports. He walked away from that for an apprenticeship and then committed to 3 more years of intense, expensive graduate study at NYU.
It shows an absolute depth of commitment. He traded the security of a scholarship for the academic rigor of a top-tier MFA. This pivot confirms that he views performance not just as art, but as a disciplined one that requires years of structured practice, just like collegiate sports.
And that rigor is what sets him apart later. He's a classically trained performer with the physical discipline of an elite athlete.
Exactly. So by 2001, we have Mahershala Hashbaz Ali, the Ahmadiyya Muslim, MFA graduate, entering the professional world. And for nearly a decade, he carried that magnificent, complex 18-letter name with him into every single audition.
Right. From 2001 to 2010, that was the professional grind. He was credited as Mahershala Hashbaz Ali, and he was building his career on consistent TV work. You don't just jump into Oscar-winning films.
No, you put in the thousands of hours on set. He wasn't an immediate star. He was a working actor. You see him developing his craft in these key early TV credits.
Like what was he in?
A lot of procedural dramas. He did 19 episodes on Crossing Jordan between 2001 and 2002, then 15 episodes of Threat Matrix from 2003 to 2004. These are fast-paced, demanding shows where you learn to be efficient and consistent. But his big breakthrough in that early phase, still using the full name, was the sci-fi series, The 4400. He played Richard Tyler, appeared in 28 episodes from 04 to 07.
And The 4400 was a pretty popular show. That role gave him a serious foothold in genre television, showing his versatility early on.
It absolutely gave him a sustained presence, moving him beyond just being a guest star. He was building his resume brick by brick with consistent quality work, always under the banner of Mahershala Hashbaz Ali.
But in 2010, the pivot. The name gets streamlined. And this wasn't an artistic decision. It was a pragmatic, professional strategy.
That's the extraordinary part of the story. The catalyst was something as simple as a movie poster for the film The Place Beyond the Pines. He was told that his full name was just too long to fit legibly on the promotional material.
And the studio solution was what? Just M. Ali?
M. Ali. which he firmly rejected. He knew that him would just flatten his identity, reduce him to an initial and a common surname. So he made the strategic compromise, Mahershala Ali.
His explanation for it, though, in a Vanity Fair interview, goes so much deeper than just font size. It's about his whole philosophy with the audience.
It's so intentional. He admitted that keeping the full name was, you know, a crazy thing to do, considering that we're in Hollywood. But he said the real reason for the change was to cultivate the deepest possible relationship with the audience. His direct quote was that he didn't want a couple of syllables to get in the way of me having the fullest experience as an actor. Think about that. He saw his own name as a potential barrier to the audience's connection with the character.
He's prioritizing the audience's ease over his own personal label. That says so much about his focus on the work.
It's the ultimate pivot of self-awareness. And once that name was streamlined, his career really accelerated into the higher levels of film and prestige TV.
And you see that with the key supporting roles that really paved the way for his Oscar era.
His first major film role was actually back in 2008 in The Curious Case of Benjamin Button. But the roles that gave him massive global visibility were the last two Hunger Games films. Playing Colonel Boggs put him in a huge youth-oriented franchise.
Made him recognizable to millions.
Millions. But the role that really placed him in the realm of high-caliber prestige acting before the Oscars was House of Cards.
That was essential. Remy Danton.
Yeah, he played Remy Danton, this shrewd lobbyist. For the first four seasons, 33 episodes, it was a masterclass in controlled ambition. And that role got him his first primetime Emmy nomination, which basically signaled to the whole industry that he was an actor who could hold his own against giants in a show that was defining prestige streaming.
Okay, so if the DI basketball career was the most surprising pivot, I think the existence of his full-on music career is the most surprising layer of his identity. It completely reshapes how you see his creative range.
It's the ultimate secret life. Before he was an Oscar winner, Mahershala Ali was a working rapper who went by the name Prince Ali.
Prince Ali.
And again, this wasn't just a hobby. This was a professional commitment to the Bay Area hip-hop scene.
How deep did that commitment go? Was he just recording a few tracks on the side?
No, he was deeply integrated. He was signed to Hieroglyphics Imperium.
Hiero, that's a huge, respected, independent label.
A very big deal. Being signed to Hiero means you're part of a specific, established, critically respected cultural movement. And under the name Prince Ali, he released two full studio albums, Corner Ensemble in 2006 and Curbside Service in 2007.
That is astonishing to realize he was balancing being Richard Tyler on the 4400 with producing two professional hip-hop albums. The capacity for work is just immense.
It's immense. It shows his powerful need for creative expression that went beyond any single medium. But the music career brings us back to that theme of strategic prioritization, of sacrifice.
We know why it was curtailed, and it was another choice driven by his commitment to acting.
That's right. He chose not to tour to promote his albums. Yeah. And touring is the financial lifeblood for a musician, especially on an indie label. The sources are clear he consciously pulled back from that, opting to focus all his energy on auditioning and his acting career.
So he saw he couldn't be excellent at both simultaneously and made a choice.
He made a strategic choice. He dedicated 100% of his energy to acting, even if it meant sacrificing a music career that was already established and personally meaningful.
But even after he stepped away from recording, his ties to hip-hop stayed vital. This wasn't superficial for him.
No, the connection is genuine and it's enduring. He's continued to make guest appearances, lending his voice to skits, even rapping on tracks later in his career, sometimes still as Prince Ali. Like, he rapped on a track called House of Card Gods on a Huzz Kingpin album, which is a clever nod to his TV success. He also featured on albums by Keith Murray and Riz Ahmed.
Right.
And what really shows the depth of this is his fandom. When he lists his favorite artists, he's not just naming the big mainstream acts. He names old school legends like Dougie Fresh and Slick Rick, alongside modern intellectually dense lyricists like Karanik and Rock Marciano.
So he knows his stuff.
He deeply understands the genre's history and its present. It just confirms that the performer identity in him is holistic. It spans the theatrical, the cinematic, and the lyrical.
And that decision to strategically prioritize acting, it obviously paid off in a monumental way. Which brings us to the absolute zenith of his career, starting with the role that redefined everything for him, Juan in Moonlight.
Yeah, Moonlight in 2016 was the role that moved him from prestige TV actor to cinematic icon. He played Juan, this mentor, protector, and drug dealer who provides a lifeline of kindness and complex masculinity to the young protagonist, Chiron.
And what's so incredible about that role is that Juan's screen time is so brief.
It's famously brief, around 20 minutes in total. And yet, his performance created this immense lasting impact. The acclaim was universal, mostly because of the sheer gravitas and stillness Ali brought to the character.
So how does an actor maximize a 20-minute performance to the point where it overshadows everything else?
It's that intentionality of his craft. He imbued Juan with this deep moral complexity. Juan is doing terrible things, dealing drugs, but he operates from a place of profound, undeniable humanity. Ali's performance was all quiet strength, vulnerability, and a total lack of theatricality. He conveyed an entire lifetime of choices just through his eyes and his body language. It was a performance that served the narrative, not his own ego.
And the industry recognized it immediately.
Instantly. He swept the major awards, he won the Academy Award, the SAG Award, the Critics' Choice Award for Best Supporting Actor, and got Golden Globe and BAFTA nominations.
And that first Oscar win at the 89th Academy Awards, it carried this profound historical weight that connected his personal journey to his public success.
Yes. He became the first Muslim actor to win an Academy Award. And that milestone, it wasn't just about his acting, it was a huge cultural moment that connected his identity, the same identity that experienced racial profiling after 9/11, to the highest achievement in American cinema.
Mm.
It put a face to the complexity of the modern American Muslim experience on the world stage.
But he didn't rest on that. Just 2 years later, he makes the strategic decision to take on a completely different challenge in Green Book, which earned him his second historic win.
Green Book was a deliberate pivot in performance style. He traded the quiet inner-city gravitas of Juan for the refined classical eloquence of Dr. Donald Shirley, a world-class pianist navigating the segregated South. It required a totally different physical and vocal commitment.
And that performance also won him the Oscar.
It did. His second Academy Award for Best Supporting Actor, along with the Golden Globes and the BAFTA. Winning two Oscars that quickly is incredibly rare.
And that second win, it secured an even more extraordinary historical milestone.
That's the true definition of his zenith. With the Green Book win, Mahershala Ali became the first Black actor to win two Academy Awards in the same category, Best Supporting Actor.
Wow.
And furthermore, he became only the second Black actor, after the monumental Denzel Washington, to win multiple acting Oscars in any category.
That's incredible.
This achievement just solidified his status, not just as a successful actor, but as a historical figure in American cinema. In 4 years, he went from a respected TV actor to one of the most decorated performers of his generation.
And the critical acknowledgement matched the awards.
Completely. I mean, the broader context confirms it. In 2019, Time magazine calls him one of the 100 most influential people in the world. The next year, the New York Times ranks him among the 25 greatest actors of the 21st century. It's a consensus that proves that all his deliberate, disciplined pivots led him exactly where he intended. The absolute peak of artistic achievement. And, you know, one of the most telling things about Ali's strategy after winning the Oscars is that he didn't just limit himself to big film roles. He kept prioritizing prestige television, showing a real commitment to character and long-form storytelling.
He used TV not as a stepping stone, but as a space for high-quality, complex work. What were his major TV roles after the Oscars?
Well, even right before the Moonlight win, he delivered this chilling villain performance as Cornell Cottonmouth Stokes in the first season of Luke Cage.
Oh, he was fantastic in that.
So good. But his most significant TV commitment was starring as Detective Wayne Hayes in True Detective Season 3 in 2019.
And that was a huge moment because the previous season of that show had been really poorly received. It needed a major critical lift.
It did. And Ali provided it. His performance as Hayes, tracking a crime across decades while battling memory loss, was a masterclass in subtlety. The critical consensus was overwhelmingly positive, and it was explicitly tied to his presence.
Mm.
The Rotten Tomatoes summary for the season says it's driven by Mahershala Ali's mesmerizing performance. He didn't just star in it. He basically saved the critical reputation of the whole franchise.
And he's so versatile. He also showed up in the second season of Rami.
Exactly. Showed his comedic timing and his spiritual depth as Sheikh Ali Malek in 2020. Got another Emmy nomination for that.
And the fact that he's still getting Emmy nominations for non-acting roles, that speaks to his influence as a producer and narrator.
Absolutely. He's strategically diversifying. He won an Emmy for executive producing a children's program, We Are the Dream. And he was nominated for narrating the nature documentary, Chimp Empire. He's deliberately engaging with projects that reflect his personal values, whether it's through acting, narration, or production.
Okay, so now we get to the blockbuster pivot. After cementing his artistic status, He made the calculated choice to enter the biggest global franchises, starting with his voice work.
And the move was seamless and so intelligent. He voiced Aaron Davis, the Prowler, in the groundbreaking animated film Spider-Man: Into the Spider-Verse.
Which was a huge critical and commercial hit, won an Oscar.
A huge hit. And he reprised the role in Areja, Across the Spider-Verse, with another one slated for the future. This gave him instant access to the massive global audience of superhero fans without ever compromising his performance style.
But the truly defining moment for his global profile came in 2019 at San Diego Comic-Con. That announcement basically shut down the internet.
His casting as the supernatural superhero Blade for the Marvel Cinematic Universe was monumental. I mean, this is a role previously owned by Wesley Snipes, and it immediately places Ali at the center of the largest entertainment franchise on the planet.
And it's not a supporting role, this is the lead.
This is the lead role in a major MCU film. And we should mention, he already did an uncredited voice cameo as Blade in a post-credit scene for Eternals. It's a brilliant strategic move to consolidate his fame.
So when you look at his whole modern portfolio, it's the sheer diversity that stands out. Beyond the Oscars and the superheroes, what else fills out his work?
He's balanced it all with diverse, character-driven film work. We saw him in Hidden Figures as Colonel Jim Johnson. And then there's the highly intellectual, emotionally complex sci-fi film Swan Song,
where he played two characters.
He played the lead, Cameron, and his clone, Jack. And in Swan Song was a real passion project. He was also a producer on it and earned him both BAFTA and Golden Globe nominations for that double performance.
And his recent projects continue to show that range.
Yeah, from the big Netflix thriller Leave the World Behind alongside Julia Roberts and Ethan Hawke to his future slate, which is massive. He's set to be in Jurassic World Rebirth and the animated feature Wildwood.
And we have to acknowledge his willingness to cross into platforms that major actors often ignore, like video games.
Yes. Showing he's comfortable with all forms of media, he provided the voice and likeness for a character in the story mode for Madden NFL 18 called Longshot. It's a testament to the idea that he sees narrative opportunity everywhere, whether it's a stage, a film set, or a gaming console.
We established early on this profound spiritual and intellectual seriousness that really underpins all of his choices.
Yep.
So given the weight he brings to his characters and his conversion to Islam, his personal values and his engagement in public discourse are a critical part of the whole picture.
And we should probably contextualize his grounding in family first. He married Amitasami Kareen, who's also an actress and musician, back in 2013. And they welcomed their daughter in February 2017.
Just before he won his first Oscar.
Literally a week or two before he won for Moonlight. So that grounding coincided with his professional apex, giving him a vital center of gravity.
But that internal center of gravity often compels him to use his influential platform to engage with global, political, and humanitarian issues.
Indeed. His public stances often reflect his identity as a Muslim man and his commitment to human rights. For example, in October 2023, he signed the Artist for Ceasefire letter, joining a lot of prominent figures calling for a cessation of violence in the Gaza war.
Mm.
But he didn't just sign a letter. January 2024, he used his social media platform to recite a poem, Longing for Haifa, by the Palestinian poet Mohammed Al-Qudwa.
Wow.
And in that same video, he actively encouraged donations to the poet's fundraiser, which was specifically set up to help the poet and his family leave the Gaza Strip.
So that shows a willingness to use his platform for very specific, targeted humanitarian action.
Exactly. And that activism has continued. As recently as June 2025, he publicly called for the release of a Palestinian student activist. The pattern is clear. His public positions directly reflect the intellectual and spiritual seriousness of his identity. He views his platform as a means to effect tangible change or awareness, not just self-promotion.
Which raises an essential question for us and for you listening. Why should we care about these public positions when we're analyzing his career?
Because it circles right back to our core theme, intentionality and depth. Every single major decision Ali has made, from walking away from basketball to getting a master's degree, to shortening his name, to choosing roles like Juan or Detective Hayes, it's all been driven by a pursuit of authenticity and meaning.
And his public activism is just an extension of that same principle.
Exactly. He brings the full weight of Mahershala Ali, the complex human being with his religious, athletic, and artistic background, to every single decision. He's consistently synthesizing his personal values with his professional choices, which is why his performances resonate with such undeniable gravity.
So what does this all mean when we put the pieces together? I mean, our deep dive today confirms that Mahershala Ali's career isn't just successful. It's a masterclass in relentless strategic self-actualization, and it's all defined by the calculated pivot.
We tracked him from Mahershala Ashbaz Gilmore, the DI college basketball player known as Herschel, all the way to the two-time Academy Award-winning actor known simply as Mahershala Ali. His professional life is just characterized by the courage to abandon security for passion.
And the discipline to formalize his craft?
Yes, and the strategic foresight to simplify his public identity just to maximize his connection with the audience.
The connecting thread through every decision, converting to Islam, sacrificing a music career, getting an MFA, it's his consistent and uncompromising pursuit of depth. His success is fundamentally rooted in his ability to make every role, no matter how brief, feel profound and indelible.
You said you want to maximize his experience as an actor, and in doing that, he maximized his impact on the culture. He proved that the discipline from one field, like athletics, can be perfectly transferred to another, like the arts, to achieve unparalleled excellence.
And that strategic consolidation of gravitas and global visibility, it leads us to our final provocative thought for you to consider. What does it mean for the future of the spectacle-driven Marvel Cinematic Universe that a figure of Mahershala Ali's unique gravitas, a man who prioritizes deep, nuanced performance, intellectual engagement, and spiritual seriousness, is now taking on the major, previously established superhero role of Blade?
Will his artistic seriousness fundamentally change the tone and the depth that we expect from the superhero genre going forward? It's a fascinating prospect for the evolution of blockbuster cinema and a perfect capstone to a career that's been defined by pushing boundaries.
That's it for this deep dive. We hope you feel instantly and thoroughly informed. We'll see you next time.